You're still the one. Oh, I wanna know. All along, you were the one I wanted to know. And all along, you're still the one.
Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. And that song that we just heard was called The Actress by Goldie Boutillier. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's off the album The Actress as well, which I found on the CJSF playlist. And actually, all the songs we heard were from the playlist. So just before that was I Wanna Know by the Canadian artist Carson Hoy off of his album Enigmatic. And right before that, we had a really dancey piece of electronic music called Heart Made of Glass by Eli and Fur off of the album Dreamscapes. And we have just been talking about the structure of UK Parliament and how kind of government works, how it's structured, how we get bills and laws in place in the UK. And I thought now I'd talk a bit about kind of the history of the UK government and what we've seen since 2000, so the last 24 years. Because it's changed but also hasn't changed, which is very confusing. But we started off actually with a Labour government from 1997 to 2007 with a Prime Minister called Tony Blair. And we had a strong Conservative opposition for that time. However, the leader of that opposition changed four times during Blair being Prime Minister. So we started off with someone called William Hague for 1997 to 2001. And then it was Ian Duncan Smith for 2001 to 2003. And Michael Howard from 2003 to 2005. And then probably someone that is most known, David Cameron, from 2005 to 2016. So it did change quite a bit. But after Tony Blair left government, he was succeeded by Gordon Brown. So we were still in a Labour government from 2007 to 2010 with David Cameron as the leader of the opposition in the Conservative Party. But that all switched at the 2010 general election, which saw not any party gaining a majority, actually. We saw a coalition. So we had a Conservative coalition with the Liberal Democrats, and Labour became the opposition with two leaders. We had an acting leader of Harriet Harman in 2010 and 2015, and we had Ed Miliband from 2010 to 2015. And then we moved to where the Conservative Party changed Prime Minister and leader multiple times in around 5 years. So we had Theresa May from 2016 to 2019 with Jeremy Corbyn as the Labour leader and opposition from 2015 to 2020. And after that, it was Boris Johnson, who was Prime Minister from 2019 to 2022. And the opposition actually changed leaders in the Labour Party from Jeremy Corbyn to Keir Starmer, who is our Prime Minister now. So he has been Labour's leader from 2020. And after Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister changed to Liz Truss in 2022, and it changed again in that year to Rishi Sunak until 2024, in which he lost the general election this year. And our opposition has now changed leaders on November 2nd, actually, to Kemi Badenoch, who is the first black leader of any major UK political party and also the fourth woman to lead the Conservative Party. So it changed quite a bit in terms of not so much the party in power, but the leaders of those parties. So I thought going back, we'd kind of see how it changed, why it changed, especially so much, particularly from 2016 to now. But going back, we have Tony Blair, who was the youngest Prime Minister of the UK, actually, at the age of 43, since 1812. And he had three victories, actually, in general elections for the Labour Party. He won in 1997, 2001, and 2005. And he was Labour's longest-serving Prime Minister and the first person to lead the party to three consecutive victories. And to date, he is still the only one to have done that. But he sort of had a very turbulent end to his years in office. In his first 6 years in office, he ordered British troops actually into combat five times, which is more than any other prime minister in British history. And that was from when the combats in Iraq in 1998 and 2003, Kosovo in 1999, Sierra Leone in 2000, and Afghanistan in 2001. And in 2001, he strongly supported the foreign policy of US President George W. Bush, which was participating in what was then now the US-led 2003 invasion of Iraq. And it was particularly controversial, his decisions with this, and it actually had a widespread public opposition. And 139 of his own members of parliament from Labour actually opposed his decision on it. And as a result, he ended up facing criticism over the policy and the circumstances of the decisions. And a lot of pressure was building up within the Labour Party for him to resign. And in 2006, he was heavily criticised by members of parliament for not calling for a ceasefire in the Israel-Lebanon conflict. And then, as the casualties were increasing from the Iraq war, Labour's overall majority in the 2005 election actually reduced from 167 seats to 66 seats, even though they still won that election. And he did say that in 2006, he announced he would step down as the leader of the Labour Party. And then by 2007, he announced he would be stepping down as Prime Minister as well. And that triggered a leadership election, which saw Gordon Brown as the only candidate to succeed Tony Blair because of a Labour Party rebellion that happened. But he is the only Prime Minister in a century, beside from Margaret Thatcher, to have held the position of Prime Minister for a decade. No one has done it since. So 3 days after Gordon Brown became the official Labour Party leader, he then became Prime Minister, and he was pledging to reform the NHS, which is our National Health Service, and to retain various public sector reforms that Blair had implemented before him. But he was seen a lot more sceptical to US and EU military kind of policies in regard to fighting against terrorism, which is where he differed to Blair. And he was hit with a lot of challenges from him being put into the Prime Minister role. So in 2008 to 2009, there was the worldwide financial crisis, which led to a big recession in Britain. And we saw in the spring of 2009 a growing unemployment backdrop and a political scandal that involved members of parliament and his cabinet. So there was a major cabinet reshuffle, and this plummeted the Labour Party popularity. And there was also an issue in 2009 where he tried to stimulate the economy, and it actually produced an ever-increasing budget deficit, and that caused in 2010 for the Labour Party to lose its majority in the House of Commons and finishing second to the Conservatives. But no party actually achieved a majority. So he announced he was stepping down because he failed to form a coalition in negotiations with the Liberal Democrats. And we then go to a Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition with David Cameron as Prime Minister. And this is actually the first coalition in Britain since World War II. And David Cameron has been a very notable prime minister, I would say, from 2010 to 2016. He notably was prime minister when there was the 2011 local elections, which called for a Scottish independence referendum, which resulted in no, so Scotland stayed a part of the UK, as well as a phone hacking scandal with News of the World. And David Cameron was caught in that due to his communications chief being involved, as well as rioting happening in and around London, which had looting, arson, destruction of property, all in his first year as Prime Minister. Now, probably the most prominent event that happened during David Cameron's Prime Minister time was the fact that we had the EU referendum in June 2016, which saw a result being 52% voting to leave the EU and 48% voting to stay for what we all know as Brexit. And the day after the result was released, David Cameron actually immediately announced his resignation by October, as he was a strong campaigner for remaining in the EU. And he said he wanted his successor to conduct the negotiations on the UK leaving, since it wasn't what he was campaigning for. Now, many actually thought it would be Boris Johnson that would succeed him, but it actually turned out to be Theresa May, because Boris Johnson withdrew his name last minute. And we had our second ever female prime minister from 2016 to 2019. But she failed to deliver a negotiable deal with Brexit and lost her party's support, which caused her to resign. And she was succeeded by Boris Johnson. And he had a strong campaign for a no-deal Brexit, which actually he experienced a lot of opposition to, and ended up having to request a further delay to Brexit until 2020. And an election actually was called in 2019, which saw the Conservatives securing 48 more seats, giving them a very solid majority. And on January 31st, 2020, the UK formally withdrew from the EU. However, we then start to enter the COVID pandemic, which saw ultimately Boris Johnson and his resignation over a series of allegations against him and his party as they broke pandemic regulations with the infamous Partygate scandal, where they had gatherings during peak COVID time. And this furthered public distrust in Parliament and the Tory party. So there was a mass revolt of ministers over his leadership, which led to him resigning and being followed by our third female Prime Minister, Liz Truss. Now, she had an interesting start, as it was a couple of days after she was officially appointed Prime Minister by the Queen that the Queen actually ended up passing away and the country entered the 10 days of national mourning. And she actually only managed to stay in office for 49 days until she resigned, because her economic reforms actually ended up damaging the economy more. She had a high growth, low tax plan, which ended up having to be reversed by former Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, because the value of the pound ended up plummeting and mortgage rates climbed and the economy just went very downhill. And she now holds the shortest term in England's history and was taken over in 2022 by Rishi Sunak. So in 2022, we actually held, I think, three prime ministers. But Rishi Sunak took over as prime minister, but the Tory party had a historic low popularity. And he managed to kind of stop it declining and held off a rebellion in the Conservative Party, but he didn't end up doing a job well enough to keep them in power. He had a cabinet reshuffle, which actually saw David Cameron return as a foreign secretary, but he dissolved Parliament in May of this year, and we actually saw a landslide victory for the Labour Party after a 14-year Conservative reign with our new and current Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. Subsequently as well, this election saw several high-ranking members of the cabinet lose their seats, including the former Prime Minister Liz Truss. So this Labour has now become the largest party in government since 2005, and they managed to increase their seats by 211 seats to reach a very strong majority of 411, and the Conservatives ended up losing 251 seats to only hold 121 seats in government, which actually showed a shocking turnout for the Liberal Democrats, who gained 64 seats to hold 72 seats in Parliament. So our Parliament is very different now than it has been in the past 14, 15 years. And it'll be interesting to see how it changes, since this is the first Labour victory in UK Parliament in 19 years, and how they sort of deal with the economic crisis that we're facing. And that is my kind of speedy rundown of what has been happening in UK government and its turbulent time of multiple prime ministers in one party and a sudden flip change recently. So thank you all for tuning into my open mic today. I hope you all have a lovely rest of your day and learned something new about the UK and its parliament. Tune in again next week at 12 p.m. for some more music and another topic, and stay tuned as we have Variant's open mic coming up next from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m.
Damn land, it is so spoiled.